Please turn with me then your Bible then to the Gospel according to Matthew as we continue our verse by verse study through this first Gospel account in chapter 10 verses 24 through 26. Matthew chapter 10 verses 24 through 26, reading from God's holy word. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Let's pray. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, where every thought and step preside. The light of truth to us display, and make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word of truth today, then may that be our earnest prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been said that faith is the anchor of the soul and fear is the panic of the soul. Faith is anchored in Christ. Fear is anxious in self. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. Proverbs 29:25. In the New Orleans Charity Hospital, the waiting room is over 3 football fields long. 74% of the patients with GI problems, gastrointestinal problems, the cause is fear and stress. Each year in the United States, it's estimated that 60% of the hospital beds are filled by patients with diseases of psychosomatic origin. That means they are of mental origin, they're not physical origin. So it's things such as worry, fear, and anxiety. Someone has said it's not what we eat that kills us, but what eats us. In truth, friends, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 does not resonate with most of professing Christians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In truth, Christians are not exempt from fears, anxieties, and worries. They know they're under divine obligation of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever Jesus commanded. And we know that Jesus will be with us always. And we know that we're to share the gospel. We're to be ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. But more often than not, when the opportunity arises to share the gospel, we're like the Arctic River. We're frozen over at the mouth. And what's the problem? Well, there's many reasons. I'm going to cite 3. One, the focus is on self. What will people think of me? I don't want to stick out. I don't want to incur criticism. Friends, that's a sin, and it needs repentance. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, you deny self. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Secondly, why the gospel is not shared is we're ashamed of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Many times disciples lack confidence in the gospel, and they really do not believe the gospel is the power of God's self for salvation. That too is sin and needs repentance. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. Psalm 119:2. You cannot separate between God and his word. So if you're ashamed of the gospel, you are ashamed of God. We need to remember Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Number 3, why we don't share the gospel is we're not looking to Christ. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That in the Greek means you look away from everything else. You always keep your eyes on the finish line. You keep your eyes on Christ to have a right perspective on life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And my God shall supply you all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. To be fearless and faithful disciples of Christ, we need to heed the words of Jesus in our Bible text today. Only then will made disciples make disciples. What's the context here? The context in Matthew 10 is a focal text in the Bible on discipleship and missions. Matthew 10 is the focal text in the Bible on discipleship and mission. In chapter 10, 1 through 15, Jesus cites 10 principles in ministry. And then in verses 16 through 23, expect persecution in ministry. And then in verses 24 to 42, we need perseverance for ministry. As to persecution in ministry, J. Gresham Machen said, the gospel of Christ is always, always offensive in the extreme to the natural man. The natural man hates the messenger of the message. And just as he hates God and Christ, so he hates God's man or woman, Christ's man or woman. Note, there's many times that the words of Jesus seem harsh, but they are only harsh to the half-hearted. The half-hearted, the ones who are not willing to pay the price of discipleship, and so that causes them to depart. Read Luke 9:57 to 62. Jesus discouraged the too hasty, the too hesitant, and the too homebound from following him. In John 6:53 to 66, Jesus said, following me is costly. Unless you eat and drink of me, you have no part of me. And then Scripture says, John 6:66, from that time many of disciples went back and walked no more with him. To be a true disciple of Jesus means radical, wholehearted, unreserved surrender to him. Luke 14:33, Jesus says, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Friends, that's the narrow gate and the narrow way. It's only for the fearless, the brave, the spirit-filled, the Bible-filled, the passionate followers of Jesus who endeavor to love him with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. Matthew 22:37. It's the few whom Jesus calls. He not only equips for the task, he also encourages them in the task. You and I need to note that Barnabas is not the only encourager in the Bible. As always, Jesus takes the lead. He's our example, and he's our model. An encourager is someone who gives courage, confidence, and hope for the task. These words are needed for perseverance in ministry, which is the theme of Matthew 10:24-42. May God's Spirit illumine our minds in these truths, overcome our propensity to fear. Just think, God or Jesus say 365 times in Scripture, do not be afraid. And we pray the Holy Spirit will increase our faith in Jesus and answer our prayer just as he did the apostles in Luke 17:5 when they said, Lord, increase our faith. And we ask to what end? So that we can be true disciples of Jesus, successful in our great commission, ministry, and all for his glory. Follow along in the outline today as we look at the topic, do you fear openly serving Jesus? The first point is the expectation, verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Jesus first presents here the negative of discipleship, the negative of discipleship. Our striving to be like the master, Jesus, is an imitation. It's not an imitation that wants to equal a master or excel the master. Imitation is conformity to Christ's righteousness. 1 John 2:29 is proof of regeneration. If we know that he is righteous, everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. To be more and more like Jesus is progressive sanctification, or as John Gerstner said, the Christianizing of the Christian. Whereas to strive to be equal to the Master Jesus or exceed him is idolatry, that is satanic. Read Isaiah 14:12 through 15, where Satan wanted to put his throne above the Most High. Disciples of Jesus should not think it strange or to complain when they're going to be persecuted. They'd only be following in the footsteps of Jesus and sharing his fate. 1 Peter 1:11, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them, when he was indicating beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. The biblical principle is the pathway to glory is through suffering. What an honor. Listen as I read the words in 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. A disciple is a mathetes, a learner of Jesus. He's not above his didaskalos, or teacher, nor a doulos, his slave, above his kurios, his master. I would encourage you on verses 24 and 25, as I've done in my Bible, above the word servant, put slave. Above the word servant in verse 24 and verse 25, put slave. Doulos is the Greek, and it should be translated slave. Never servant. There are six Greek words that translate servant. Doulos is not one of them. Doulos should be translated slave. We who have been purchased by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are bond slaves to Christ. We are not servants. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. 21st century translators have substituted the word servant for slave. A servant gives service to someone. A slave belongs to someone. A servant commits to someone, whereas a slave surrenders to someone. He gives himself up. Friends, a Christian is a slave of Christ. He has no will, rights, agenda of his own, but to obey his master, to do his will, and to go where he goes. In humility, and remember that's the first mark of a Christian, Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God. In humility, the disciple submits to persecution just as his master did. 1 Peter 2:22 and 23, Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he's reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. And we know that if we suffer persecution, the master did, he will exalt us who have been humbled and abased. In Matthew 23:12, and we know that the humble ones and the base he will exalt all the way to the third heaven to reside with him forever and ever. Isaiah 57:15. Do you fear openly serving Jesus? The first point is the expectation. The second point is the endurance. Verse 25, the endurance. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. This first part of verse 25 is the positive aspect of discipleship. Remember when Adoniram Judson went through the benighted Corinne villages? The people would say, there go Jesus man. There go Jesus man. It's indeed enough for the disciple to be so like his teacher that he's identified with his teacher. To be like Jesus, my desire to be like him all through life's journey from earth to glory, my desire to be like him. Soon after graduating from college, Jim Elliot wrote in his diary, God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life that they may burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full life like you, Lord Jesus. God answered that prayer, friends, and in the flower of young manhood, Jim Elliot's life was cut short by a spear of an Alka Indian And he and several other young men, as they sought to take the gospel deep into the jungles of Ecuador. The true disciple who was taught by God, Ephesians 4, 20 and 21, given spiritual understanding by the Spirit, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, will learn of his master and become like his master in thought, word, and deed. Luke 6, 40, everyone, after he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher. He will think God's thoughts after him, speak God's words, Bible truths, and he'll speak them in love, Ephesians 4, 15. And he will grow up in all things to be like Christ, his head, as Ephesians 4, 15 says. And he may even follow the Lord to his death and be martyred. Remember, 10 of the 12 apostles were martyred. They bore witness to Jesus by their death. The true disciple prays for his master's wisdom. As J.I. Packer said, wisdom in Scripture always means knowledge of the course of action that will please God and result in life. John MacArthur, when he was preaching on James 3, 16 through 18 on godly wisdom, said, true wisdom from God is properly and effectively applying God's truths every day. It's the skill of living righteously. The true disciple prays for his master's character, the inward desire to do what's right according to the highest standard, which is God's word. And that even means praying, if God so wills, that he will suffer as Christ suffered, even to death or martyrdom. 1 John 2, 6, he who says he abides in Christ, he walks as Christ walks. The true disciple lives life in light of eternity, when he will see his master and be truly like him. 1 John 3, 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, it doth not appear what we shall be. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase, so bravely run the race till we see Christ. Look at the last part of verse 25. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? This cites the consequences of discipleship. To be like Christ means to be treated like Christ, to be called Beelzebub. They here is people in general. It's an impersonal use. Master here is despotes. It means master of a slave. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many bond slaves who are under the yoke count their own masters, despotes, worthy of all honor. What does the word Beelzebub mean? The Pharisees had already charged Jesus with being in league with Beelzebub in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 34. But the Pharisees said, he, Jesus, casts out demons by the ruler of demons, Beelzebul or Beelzebub. Beelzebub is probably derived from Baal-zebub, the god, small g, of Ekron in 2 Kings 1, 2, and 3. The word meaning Lord of the Flies is a deliberate corruption of Baal-zebul, probably meaning Lord of the House. In the first century, in Jesus' day, it was the name given to the chief demon and to Satan himself. In Mark 3, 20 to 27, I'd encourage you to read that passage. Jesus refuted their charge. He was casting out demons by Beelzebub. He said that if Satan casts out demons by Satan's power, Satan would be destroying his own kingdom. Do you fear openly serving Jesus? The first point this morning is the expectation. The second point is the endurance. And the third point is the end. Verse 26. Therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. This verse cites the triumph of discipleship. Therefore, looks back to verse 25, and them refers to the persecutors of verse 25 and verses 16 through 23. Those who will trouble and mistreat Jesus' disciples, accuse them of being wicked and demonic. Remember what Paul told Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12. All in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Then Jesus says, do not fear them. Do not fear them. That's the key motif here of these verses. Underline in your Bible or highlight them as I have done. Look at verse 26. It says, do not fear. Look at verse 28. It says, do not fear. And then in verse 31, it says, do not fear. Three times raised to the superlative of emphasis. And you and I say, why? Well, that's because of our sinful tendency to look horizontally instead of looking vertically to Jesus. We're just like Peter in Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Jesus came in the middle of the night walking to the disciples, rowing against that storm for survival, and he's walking on the water. And Peter looks out and he sees Jesus, says, can I come to you? And Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking on the water toward Jesus. But then it says, when he looked horizontally, he looked at the waves boisterous. Then what happened? He sank immediately and he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. And then with Jesus, he walked on the water again back to the boat. John Knox, who died in 1572, as they buried him, they said of him, here lies one who feared God so much, he never feared the face of any man. Bloody Mary, who was Queen of England from 1553 to 1558, persecuted Christians. In fact, she sent over 300 of the Lord's finest to Smithfields, and they were burned at the stake. Bloody Mary said this, she feared John Knox, one man, more than 10,000 soldiers. So disciples of Jesus, friends, are to speak boldly and publicly even what is taught them in private devotion time. There are no secrets in Christianity. Now, you and I are both alike. We both have fears in us. And sometimes you and I can have that fear overwhelm us when the opportunity is right before us and we clam up again or frozen over at the mouth again like the Arctic River. But what we need to do at that time is realize it's self-denial. It is Christ in us. And with Christ in us, we have the boldness, the power to speak forth the truth. The focus is not on us. The focus is Christ. And we need to point people to Christ. In the time of Jesus, which applies to this verse, it's very interesting historical context. The Jewish rabbis would train their students to speak by standing beside them and whispering in their ear. And then what the student had heard whispered in his ear, he would then in turn speak it aloud. What Jesus speaks to us through his Spirit, friends, and word, we in turn are to speak publicly, holding nothing back. Remember, there are no silent witnesses for Jesus in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. And that confess in the Greek means both in life and lip. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father's in heaven. And you've heard me say many times, if somebody tells me, oh, I've been on the job for 20 years and nobody knows I'm a Christian, I will look them in the eye and say, unequivocally, you are not a Christian. Hugh Latimer, who was burned at the stake by Bloody Mary in 1555, in the late 1540s was preaching before King Henry VIII. And he was about to say something he knew that King Henry VIII would dislike. So Latimer paused and he held an audible dialogue with himself in the pulpit, calling out, Latimer, Latimer, be careful what you say. The king is here. And then he paused and he continued the audible dialogue with himself. He said, Latimer, Latimer, be careful what you say. The King of Kings is here. 1 Samuel 2:30. God says, I will honor those who honor me, but I will esteem lightly those who esteem me lightly. We'll run into this same theme again in Matthew 25, where the faithful disciples of Christ are rewarded with Christ's condemnation. Matthew 25, 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Do you fear openly serving Jesus? 3 points this morning: the expectation, the endurance, and the end. Friends, we as disciples of Jesus must be content to be misunderstood and mistreated, persecuted by the world. We must live life in light of the coming judgment, when God will set all things right, and the secrets of all hearts will be revealed. Professing disciple, can you stand the heat in the kitchen? Can you stand being persecuted by the world for Jesus' sake? Can you persevere? A true disciple can, God helping him. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth with falsehood for the good or evil side. With each choice, God speaking to us, offering each the bloom or blight, then the man or nation chooses for the darkness or the light. Though the cause of evil prosper, yet 'tis truth alone that's strong. Though its portion be the scaffold, and upon the throne be wrong. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown, standing God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth. We know as Christians you have given us principles for ministry. Jesus has, our Master, that he has told us that if we practice those principles of ministry, we will endure persecution for the gospel, just as he endured persecution. The slave is not above his master, the student above his teacher. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, only those who endure to the end will be saved. That's a grace that cannot be counterfeited. It's a grace, dear Heavenly Father, that can only be experienced by us through your filling of your Spirit empowering us, enabling us, keeping us on the narrow way from the city of destruction to the celestial city. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each one of us would count the cost. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Keep us looking to Jesus and away from everything else. I pray that we would hate sin, that we would become more and more holy, more Christ-like, that we would be living vessels known and read by all men, living epistles known and read by all men. We'd be your ambassadors in the world. We'd be fulfilling the Great Commission, all to your honor and to your glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.